This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Check.
And now, the news.
Check.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. Well, that's what we would normally do. This is another special interview with author T. Morris. T. is the author of Moravi, The Chronicles of Rafe and Ascana, The Complete Guide to Writing Fantasy, and co-author of Podcasting for Dummies. T. broke new ground in 2004 by turning his Moravi book into an audiobook. Well, now he's back to talk about his latest audiobook, Bilba Baddings and the Case of the Singing Sword. Welcome to Technorama, T.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be here. Well, actually, it's always a pleasure just to hang out with Technorama. Are you kidding? I got to come clean though about Technorama. First time I was on here, it was concerning Podcasting for Dummies, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And I'd not heard Technorama. You know, Technorama was as I like to say, one of those podcasts I just didn't have the time to subscribe to yet another podcast. Mm-hmm. And so when I was told that you guys wanted me on the show, I was like, wow, okay. And just from the name Technorama, I was like, wow, this is serious stuff. So right before I boned up, without listening to the show, I boned up on all the technical aspects of podcasting, technical aspects of my day job. I just thought this was going to be a very serious, you know, a serious podcast on technical issues of podcasting and things like that. When Craig came out with, so I see you like cigars. What kind of cigars you smoke? I was derailed worse than a chemical train. I tell you what. I should be calling it the Portable and New Media Expo.
And they changed the name again, yeah.
Yeah, they changed the name again. I came in on the live Technorama, and I was like,
payback.
It was serious payback. And I thought to myself, you know, I got to start listening to this show. And now I'm popping in on the chat room when I can and stuff like that. And I always dig hanging out with the Technorama crew. It's good fun. It's Pingu. Yeah, okay, that's my kid Serena. She's also sitting in. She doesn't like podcasting. She doesn't like me podcasting without her.
I know how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, father and cigar smoker T. Morris, we've scratched the surface a little bit. Tell us more about who T. Morris is, and, well, let me back up. The purpose of this particular interview is to help promote your upcoming new podcast.
Yes.
And we'll get into that in just a sec, but let's look behind the scenes and give credit where credit is due. Who is T. Morris?
Well, let's see. I was born a poor black child. No, I'm sorry. I take that back. The thing about T. Morris is, as much as I hate talking to myself in third person, is he is a SAG carrying, he's a card carrying member of SAG, professional actor turned author, the accidental author, as I like to call myself. And in 2002, I wrote my very first book, Moravi, The Chronicles of Rafe and Ascana. I co-wrote it with a lovely girl named Lisa Lee. And the book has been dubbed by Dragon Moon Press, which is my publisher, a small independent publisher based out of Canada. They described the book as the book that will not die, because it seems like I'm able to reinvent it, you know, every year. And in 2002, it was Dragon Moon Press's first big critical hit. And then in 2005, it became the first book ever to be turned into a podcast. And it was right up there. It was right up there alongside Scott Sigler's Earth Corps and Mark Jeffries' Pocket Independent.
Wow.
So yeah, we were all doing this all at the same time, and it was pretty crazy. And then some of the other books I've written have included Bilba Baddings and the Case of the Singing Sword, several articles for a series of books called The Complete Guide to Writing Fantasy. And then I've also had the pleasure of writing articles for Ben Bella's Smart Pop series. Are you done? Okay. Ben Bella's Smart Pop series. They're the people that do like the look backs on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Stargate, and stuff like that. And the two books that I contributed to were the ones on Farscape and Battlestar Galactica. Then came Podcasting for Dummies, and that was the book I wrote with Evo Terra on how we podcast. And it was amazing. The book came out in 2005, the end of 2005, and just between the time we signed off on the manuscript to the time that it hit the shelves, so much had changed. And currently Evo and I are in the preliminary steps of starting up a new Podcasting for Dummies book. It's not necessarily a special edition. It's more like the sequel to Podcasting for Dummies. And I think the working title for it is called Expert Podcasting Practices for Dummies.
Ah. I was wondering how you're going to work in the dummies, you know, like podcasting for not so dummies or
yeah, podcasting for the podcasting challenged. I don't know. we spent a lot of time hemming and hawing about the title, but yeah, Wiley has been really, really excited with the way everything went with Podcasting for Dummies. That they said, we want you to do a second book. We were like, great, and we're in the preliminary stages on that right now. And then there's along with the other books that I'm writing and trying to get ready for, you know, the editor's chopping block. I'm getting ready to launch a brand new podcast, February 14th, Valentine's Day. I'm launching the podcast version of Bilbo Baggins and the Case of the Singing Sword. And what makes this different from Moravia, apart from the actual story itself, is that Moravia was all me. I sat back and did all the voices and took care of it, and actually even got Serena to make a cameo in it at one point. Then I decided, okay, I want to do this again. And I blame J.C. Hutchins and Scott Sigler for this. Because I'm listening to both Seventh Son and The Rookie. And both of these podcasts are terrific. I mean, Seventh Son Deceit is just as good as Descent. And The Rookie, it's a real close call for me between which one is my favorite, either The Rookie or Ancestor. But The Rookie, Scott is just hitting it on all cylinders. And between the two of them, they started doing this trash talk. They're doing this very playful trash talk between the two of them. And I just listened to them going, man, they just feel like they're having a ball. And I said, you know, I got to get back into the swing of things. So I decided to do Bilbo Baggins, but I wanted to do something a little different. And I've always liked doing podcasts with other people. Mm-hmm. I always enjoy sitting in on other podcasts. I always like shooting the breeze with other podcasters. So, present company included, I started sending out invitations to people saying, would you be interested in being a guest voice in the podcast? And it's been so much fun mixing everyone else's voice into this podcast. I mean, I've just been having a ball with you, with Philippa Ballantyne. I can honestly say this is a worldwide cast because I have voices coming in from as far as New Zealand, all sending in files for me to mix in.
Wow.
It's been good fun. It's been really good fun.
Oh my God. They grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
Well, let's talk about a little bit about the story behind, okay, or what is Bilbo Baggins all about? It's definitely a unique genre that I don't think too many people would be familiar with.
Well, from what I understand, a few authors have done crossover with mystery and fantasy. What I'm noticing, though, is that a lot of people will either do historical, they'll either do some type of crossover like mystery fantasy or something like that, or mystery history, but rarely will they do mystery, history, and fantasy. And when science fiction fantasy authors play around with history, usually it's automatically shelved in as an alternative history. And I'm the first one to tell people that is not what I do. I'd like to take fantasy and I like to just throw in a fantastic I like to take history and throw a fantasy element into it. And that's what Bilbo Baggins is. It's the Lord of the Rings if Mickey Spillane wrote it. Okay?
Okay.
It's the opening line of the book is Chicago, 1929. There are 1,000 stories in the naked city, and when you're a dwarf at 4'1", they all look that much taller. And that pretty much sets the tone for Bilbo Baggins, what it is. You know, it is a gumshoe detective novel set in 1929 Chicago, but my gumshoe detective is a dwarf from an alternative universe. And he tells his story in the first chapter, but basically he was in a very Tolkien-esque kind of world. He was on a Tolkien-esque kind of quest, or I should say an anti-quest. And he was one of those poor, unfortunate souls that you hear in D&D games, magic missile, magic missile, magic missile, where they get sucked into a portal of oblivion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that character's done, and you never knew what happened to that character. Just that, yeah, they were off in the dungeons, and they got sucked into a portal of oblivion. Well, my theory is, well, what would happen to that character after they went through the portal of oblivion? And that's what I did. I took Billy and I said, okay, where does this portal of oblivion end? Yes, that's kind of an oxymoron, but you know. The theory is that everyone knows what oblivion is, but eventually it's going to end up somewhere.
Sure.
So where I put it was the basement of a downtown Chicago library in 1929. That's where he found himself. So he works his way through all the stacks, and he teaches himself how to read, and then he decides, you know, out of all these different things I've read about, what do I want to do? And he decides he wants to be a private detective. And that's when he starts up his own agency, and from there, that's where the story goes.
Now, you've put Moravia into podcast form.
Yes.
What is it? You mentioned lots of voice work from other people. Mm-hmm. What else are you putting into this podcast that differs from your previous one?
All the previous experience that I have learned through trial and error from my other podcasts, which include Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, and another podcast I did just on a whim because I had so much fun podcasting that when I wrapped up Moravia, I was like, man, I want to do something else. I want to do something more because I made an investment in my equipment. I invested in my first rig. I made about $400 of an investment, which is pretty modest. Mm-hmm. considering a lot of rigs. And I was like, well, what would I like to do? And I decided I was going to do a podcast called The Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, which is a writer's podcast, yes, but it does not go into the craft of writing. I focus on the business aspect of writing, and I focus on the image aspect of writing. My podcast is for writers that want to know, how do you carry yourself in public? When did I say the right thing? When did I say the wrong thing? How do I promote my first novel? How do I promote my next novel? All that stuff. That's what I talk about in the Survival Guide. And what's interesting is that I get a lot of writers that subscribe to the Survival Guide that don't write fantasy. I've got mystery authors, I've got romance authors, and they're all taking notes. So I started podcasting the Survival Guide in October of 2005. And between October 2000 – well, actually, I should say between June 2005 and today – June 2005 when Moravia wrapped up. June 2005 and today, I feel like I've learned a lot about podcasting, so I'm bringing a lot of that into this production. I feel like as a podcaster, I've not stopped learning. Even though they say, well, you wrote Podcasting for Dummies. Yes, that's right. I wrote that for myself. I wrote that for myself because of some of the learning curve I went through, and I'm still learning new things every day from other podcasters. Events like Dragon Con and the podcast New Media Expo is just it's not just a great way to network with other podcasters. That's a great place just to pick up new tricks. And I also learned a lot. I'm also bringing to this the experience of being the, for the lack of a better term, I'm the acquisitions editor for Podiobooks.com. And for those of you who don't know, Podiobooks.com is the site that Evoterra, myself, and Chris Miller all started up after we found a demand for stuff like Moravi, Earthcore, and Pocket and the Pendant.
Mm-hmm.
And since that went live, it went out of beta in October 2005, and in a year we had over 1 million downloads.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We were thrilled by that. And and we're still getting new people, and we're still getting in new titles. And I listen to what other people do in their podcasts, and I feel like I've learned. I learned new stuff, and I go, well, I bet I could apply that. That's something I could avoid. Okay, and so yeah, it's been a. That's what I really feel like I'm bringing to Bilbo Baddings. Apart from guest voices and better equipment, I'm also bringing in, you know, just the know-how that I've been collecting since I first started this back in January 2005, which I can't believe I've been doing it for this long.
It's gone by quick, hasn't it?
It has gone by very quickly. Yes, yeah. Very, very quickly.
Well, let's take a little peek behind the scenes. What are you using for hardware and software to put together Billabub?
Well, I'm still using, and I'm sure if Mike Menegay, which, you know, as you know, he's with Farpoint Media. When Mike Menegay hears me say this, he might cringe. But I use a Behringer Eurorack soundboard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike can cringe, but that was the soundboard he recommended to me. So so let's get that clear. And, you know, it's a very inexpensive board, but it definitely was perfect for me because I just needed the one mic. I don't need the extended Mondo John Holmes size mixing board that Mike Menengay needs with his 24 channels. I don't need that.
Right.
I just need the basics, and so I use that. I just upgraded my microphone from the MXL990 to the AKG Perception as the 200 AKG Perception 200, and the first five chapters were all recorded on the MXL990, which I still swear by. I think that is a terrific microphone. It's a mm-hmm. workhorse.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a great sound, and I love it. The AKG Perception is a step up, I'll admit that. And then as far as the mixing goes, I use Soundtrack Pro. And when I did my first few podcasts, I was using GarageBand. And GarageBand, this is version 2 GarageBand, and it was working like a pro. I mean, it was terrific. I really enjoyed it. Then I got into Soundtrack, and I just pleasantly surprised at how much fun that is to work in, and how easy it is to work in, and all the different options that it gives me. So I'm using Soundtrack Pro for the mixer, and then for really solid mood music, I'm using stuff from Digital Juice, which is the pod's best friend, digitaljuice.com. Although I asked them to sponsor the podcast, and they never returned my emails, but I'll still buy their stuff, though. But I just, darn it, I wish I could have said this podcast brought to you by Digital Juice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And then I got even luckier and started asking some musicians if they would let me feature some of their music on my podcast. And I was pleasantly surprised, and not only the amount of talent that said yes, but how I found said talent. For one thing, I don't know how I found the guy who does the theme of Billabub Baddings.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know where I found him, to be honest with you. I have no idea where I found him. I think somebody just sent me an MP3, said, hey, I thought you might like this. I thought about Billy Baddings when I heard it. And it's by a musician who calls himself Rubber Band Banjo.
Okay.
And the song is called Naked Under Leather. That's the theme of Billabub Baddings. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And I said, okay, I'm all over this. And he's donated his music. And then on MySpace, of all places, MySpace, I got one of these random invites on MySpace to check out, I'd like to be your friend. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
So I went to his MySpace account, because that's one thing I do that I don't think a lot of other people do with their MySpaces. A lot of people, when they get a friend request, they just hit approve, and they move on.
Mm-hmm.
I actually will go to the profile, and I will look at the profile because, one, you get a lot of bogus profiles for one thing. And two, I want to know how these people are finding me, and I want to know what they're all about. And this guy, I go to his website. I go to his MySpace page. Evan Stone was his name, is his name. And I get there, and automatically two things that happened that I said, okay, this guy gets a gold star for me. One, he didn't pimp out his My page. You know, he did not pimp out his MySpace one bit, with the exception of one thing. He put in a media player. The good news was that because he didn't pimp out his MySpace with all this other crap, the media player instantly launched. And I was hearing this really smooth jazz, and I was like, huh, I want to contact this guy. And he said, sure, go on ahead, use my stuff. I'd love for you to. Just make sure you give me credit. And it's Evan Stone, and he has got an amazing resume. And he's a jazz drummer. And then the last person that I asked if he would give me his music, and he was very enthusiastic about it, was a guy named George Robb. And when you come down to Dragon Con, you'll meet George Robb. He's a friend of the Skepticality podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to the live Winging It that we did in at Dragon Con in 2006. And this guy was phenomenal. He was absolutely freaking phenomenal. As I like to say, he puts the funk back in Funkadelicious, you know, Funkadelic. You know, I mean, the guy was incredible. And we started a correspondence and a friendship, and I said, hey, George, how would you feel about me using some of your music in the Bill About Battings podcast? And he was like, sure. You know, so I was like, okay, great.
Awesome.
And so I'm getting terrific musicians donating their music. I've got terrific people donating their time and their talent to Bill About Battings. And the other big difference to this one is I actually got a sponsor. For the first 10 episodes, I got Geek Label to sponsor the Bill About Battings podcast.
Oh, wonderful.
So that was pretty cool. I'm like, you know, I want, and of course, I'm going to be, you know, imploring the listenership to say, look, prove to the people that are sponsoring this podcast that it works. Because if they sponsor podcasts, they'll start sponsoring other podcasts.
Right.
And this will be good for everybody. It'll be good for everybody because, as you know, all the equipment that I'm talking about, all the hardware I'm talking about, it's not coming cheap.
Right. Right.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. But I haven't even launched it yet officially. And I don't know when this episode's going to air, but you know, I'm blown away at how excited I am after just cutting the first 5 episodes. You know, this is going to be a fun ride, I can tell. And I've been getting a lot of good support, a lot of good people getting into my corner and playing the teaser promos and stuff like that. And of course, having Scott and JC help out with the promos has been that's just comedy gold. That's just comedy gold right there.
Those are good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Are there any other projects that you've got ideas of or are working on right now that you could give us a peek at? What's brewing in T's brain?
God, well, I wish I had more time in the day, considering the amount of projects that I have facing me right now. I know that 2007, I have to really, really, not only do I have to produce the Bill About Battings podcast, but I gotta write my ass off, basically, because I've got Bill About Battings and the Case of the Pitcher's Pendant, which is the next Bill About Battings case. That needs to be finished this year. And then I'm also going to be working on the third Moravi, which is currently titled Exodus from Moravi. So I've got those two books on my plate. Then I've got the Podcasting for Dummies follow-up book, which Evo and I are going to be working on together. And I'm already kicking around the thought about podcasting Legacy of Moravi, which was the sequel to Moravi. And I've already got two guest voices lined up for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so I'm already looking down the road to 2008. And I think the hardest thing for me to do right now is just to keep everything scheduled and keep everything planned and just try to keep it all together. And when you've got a 2-year-old running around the house, that can be a challenge. That can be a definite challenge. But for the most part, that's what I'm at liberty to talk about right now. I mean, of course, there's all these other different ideas bouncing around in my head and stuff like that. But I'm one of these people that's like, I don't want to put the cart before the horse.
You know, I'm excited for this audiobook. I'm really looking forward to getting to listen to this now.
Oh, I've had more people tell me, "Oh yeah, Tia, you have no idea how excited I am about this." The woman that's playing my femme fatale voice, Leanne Mabry, she does a podcast called Tag in the Scene. She's my femme fatale. You, of course, are Dr. Samuel Hamill, mm-hmm. of the Ryerson, of the Ryerson Museum and Ryerson Library, rather. I have Danny Cutler from the Audio Addicts and the Truth Seeker podcast checking in. I've got I got Victor Cajiao. He plays a gangster, and he played and Victor played it up brilliantly. He played it up brilliantly. I was so happy with his performance. A lot of good people that have stepped up to the plate for this podcast, and all I can do is just, you know, thank Hutch and thank Scott for saying yeah let's have a bad influence on Team Morris. And actually, I should say Scott and Hutch are going to be in the Bill About Battings podcast as well.
Oh, good.
Oh yeah, yes. And Scott delivered, and I haven't gotten to Hutch's chapter yet, but as soon as I can, I'm going to have to get Hutch some of his lines, because Scott and Hutch are both extremely busy people between Seventh Son and The Rookie. I mean, those guys produce like nobody's business. I mean, do you listen to any of the audio books that are out there?
I've listened to a few, but it's been so long. I've got to get back to that.
Yeah, I tell people if you really dig like the football movies, you know, movies like The Original Longest Yard, North Dallas 40, and stuff mm-hmm. like that, just take that and set it in outer space, and you've got The Rookie. And I really think it's definitely Scott's most mature work, and you can just hear his passion for the game of football. I'm not a hardcore football fan. I enjoy the sport if it's on, that kind of thing. But I'm not the guy that sets aside the entire afternoon for a game.
Right.
Now if it's the 4-hour premiere of 24, oh yeah, you don't call my house. You do. The only person that should be calling my house, if I pick up that phone, I should hear Kiefer Sutherland on the other end going, "This is Bauer." You know what I mean?
I want to be in your next audiobook.
That's right. I want to be in your next podcast. Don't give me any slack. I'm going to be in your next podcast. You know, I mean, I'm a huge 24 head, but as far as his passion for the sport, you can hear it in Scott's voice, and it's very infectious, because I actually got one of the jerseys. I got one of the Rookie jerseys, football jerseys, and I love it. I mean, I'm just like, yeah, this is slick, baby. Neat. So, you know, oh yeah, I love it. And then there's Hutch, and the Seventh Son books are just, I mean, I'm astounded a publisher has not snatched him up yet. And why the publishing industry is so standoffish about podcasting as a means of trying out new authors and trying out new works is beyond me. But that's the publishing industry, and, you know, I just have to go, okay, that's your call. But I know for a fact that on any of my future books, I'm always going to have a little clause in my contract stating that I own the audio rights.
Sure.
Because I found out, especially with doing the with putting together the Billy podcast, I genuinely enjoy this. I love putting together audio books. This is just my only problem is that I can't do it without that production geek in me coming out. So when I do a audio book, I try to keep it on high production values. And that's why it takes me so long.
You bring up an interesting topic. I think we might have some new categories for the next Parsec Awards. You
know, oh, geez.
Audiobook production, acting.
Well, we've actually been talking about that. I was nominated for 2 Parsec Awards in 2006. And I stepped down, or I should say I stepped up to be on the committee. And that makes me ineligible for podcasts. So basically, Survival Guide won't be in there, and the podcast. But no, that's okay because I wanted to have Mer Lafferty, be eligible. That was my main thing.
Okay.
Secondly, I also wanted to. I was actually talking about it with Mike and who is it? Tracy Hickman. Tracy Hickman is actually going to be stepping down from the committee as well, so he can be eligible. He'll probably help just running the board, running the discussion board. But but I know that I wanted Mer Lafferty to have a shot. And if Tracy steps down, that means that his patio book, The Immortals, will have a shot as well. And let me tell you, Tracy's Immortals, it just raised the bar for everybody. I heard I'm the acquisitions editor for Patio Books, and Tracy Hickman comes to me and says, would you guys be interested in me doing a patio book with you all? New York Times bestseller Tracy Hickman coming up to me saying, can I do a patio book for you guys? I said, let me think, yes, you know. And then I heard the first chapter, and I instantly pinged Tracy Hickman back, and I said, I hate you. And he's like, why? And I said, because you just raised the bar for everybody. I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, it turns out I have the Digital Juice CD that he, you know, I've got the same volume that he pulled the theme for The Immortals with. And I'm like, well, that's why it sounds so good. It's Digital Juice. But I wanted to make sure too that Mer had a shot at it because I've learned a lot just from listening to Mer's podcast. You know, Geek Foo, I Should Be Writing. Mm-hmm. You know, and she does terrific work. And I thought it was a little unfair that with all these Parsecs out there, you know, she wasn't eligible. So I said, well, let me do it this year. Now, of course, next year I want somebody to take my place because then Billy will be eligible for next year.
Wait. We're not doing the listener any favor. We never explained what the Parsec Awards were.
Oh, right.
Just realized that.
Yeah. The Parsec Award was founded by Mike Meningay, Tracy Hickman, and Mer Lafferty. Three of them basically put their heads together, and they came up with the Farpoint Media-sponsored award called the Parsec Award. And what the Parsec Award is that it's given for excellence in speculative fiction podcasting. Science fiction, fantasy, horror-related podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And so technically, I guess you could call it the Hugo Award for podcasters. And the categories that we had last year included stuff like Best Fan Podcast, Best I think we did have a production award. I'm not sure if we did or not, but I know we had Best Speculative Fiction Long Form, Best Speculative Fiction Short Form, Best Writing Podcast. We had a lot of terrific categories up there, and right now we're looking to widen the spectrum. And I believe if you go to farpointmedia.net,
mm-hmm.
There should be something up there about the Parsecs.
Actually, they've got parsecawards.com.
Okay, parsecawards.com. You go to parsecawards.com. And you know we are interested in ideas for other topics. And some of the topics that we're kicking around right now is like best anime podcast,
mm-hmm.
Best fan podcast, best companion show podcast. Because and what the difference between the two would be, you got the fan podcast where you have people that are just they're fans of a show, so they start up a podcast.
Sure.
And then you got the companion show podcast, like the Battlestar Galactica podcast, that's officially endorsed by the Sci-Fi Channel and Ron Moore, and hosted by Ron Moore. You know, that should be eligible for something too, because that's actually the mainstream media embracing podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
There. And you know, I don't know what your thoughts were on the address that Ron Moore gave at the PNME. But you know, I enjoyed his talk more than I enjoyed Leo Laporte's. I really did. I kept hearing people talk about, and I know we're kind of completely diverting off topic, but I just want to get this off my chest. Because I heard a lot of people saying, yeah, Ron Moore was okay. He was no Leo Laporte. I'm like, no, he wasn't. And I think that's why I liked it so much. Because instead of it being over the top, it was, and instead of being like, I felt like there was somebody pushing their own personal agenda on, in a keynote talk, I really think a keynote talk should be, this is what podcasting is all about, and this is why it's important to me. And that's what Ron Moore embodied. He got up there and he was like, you know, when I first started to do this, it was a stunt.
Mm-hmm.
It was a stunt. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what this was about. I didn't even know what the word podcast was. And now then by the end of the talk, you heard him talking about how he was pulling in actors. He was pulling in the writing staff. And I thought, you know, that's a good keynote speech right there. That just got me all fired up about this weekend. And I don't know. I really, really enjoyed Ron Moore's talk. I really enjoyed it. I was just sorry he couldn't stick around and geek out with us for the rest of the weekend.
Hey, T, it's been real fun. Where can the listener find out more about Billabo Baddings and the Case of the Singing Sword, and how can they get a hold of this podcast when it comes out on St. Valentine's Day?
Well, the Billabo Baddings blog can be reached very easily by going to www.tmorris.com. That's TEEMORRIS. You get to the homepage, and automatically on the homepage, you'll see a banner. You can't miss it, and if you do, I'd have your eyes checked. But there's a banner that says Billabo Baddings, the podcast. Click here. You click on that, it'll take you to the blog. You subscribe there, and you're all set. You can also look up T. Morris on iTunes, and the Billabo Baddings podcast will pop up there as well. And also at tmorris.com, which makes it really easy, you can find out about all my other works. And then, of course, you know, if you're listening to podcasts and you decide you want to go on ahead and do this yourself, you know, check out Podcasting for Dummies. You can find that anywhere. And as far as listening to me on other podcasts, you can also check out the brand new segment that I've started up is it's on the Speaking of Beer podcast, and that's hosted by Charlie the Beer Guy. And it's speakingofbeer.com, and the segment is called Microbrewed. It is a 5 to 10 minute segment that I do with Phil Rossi of Filling the Page, and we don't speak the language, but we love visiting the country. Charlie the Beer Guy he knows all the lingo and all the talk, and Phil and I are just like, hey, if Charlie likes it, we'll drink it, you know. So but thank you so much for having me on Technorama. I'm sorry that Craig couldn't join me. I couldn't join us. So maybe next time we can get the three of us in here, and we can do this again.
We'll do it again.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. And thank you for listening to this special interview with T. Morris. If you have any comments or feedback and would like to get in touch with us, you can call us on the listener line at 206-222-2428 or email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can find out more about Technorama at chuckchat.com/technorama. Thanks for listening, and a binary high five. 101.